The title of this lesson is Mouths Given to Glorify God. Did you know that? That's why you got a mouth? You say, oh, I thought it was just to talk. Well, that's hopefully your talk will glorify God. But that's why we're given mouths, given to glorify God. If you would turn to Proverbs 10, 31 through 32, we're going to finish up our chapter 10 with these two verses combined. And Proverbs 10, 31 through 32. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Now, I have combined these two proverbs in an attempt to bring the message of both into one proverb. And combined and amplified, they could read this way. I've amplified them, I've expanded them, I've joined the two thoughts together, and it reads this way. The mouth of the just brings forth the appropriate wisdom in the right way, at the right time, to the right person, with carefulness as to speaking or not speaking, but the froward tongue speaks only frowardness. So what is brought forth is not fruit. And like the fig tree that was barren when Jesus sought fruit, it shall be hewn down. Now that's the thought of those two proverbs. And as you see in that combination of proverbs, we have an agricultural aspect to this passage. There is a harvest aspect to them, for the just man brings forth that which is a blessing, but the wicked man brings forth that which is a curse. It is as if that which the just man brings forth is like a bountiful harvest, which will provide food and fruit for many days. But on the contrary, the wicked man simply brings forth wood, hay, and stubble, which is only good for the fire. That's the difference between these two. So we have another lesson from God concerning the harvest of the mouth. For every mouth brings forth good fruits which bless, or no fruit which curses. The harvest of the mouth. Now, if all of your words for the growing season were accumulated as if it were a harvest, what would be the value of your crop of words? Could you take it to the market and get anything for such a crop? Would those words bless as a good harvest blesses? Or would they only be fit for the fire? That's the question that we all have to ask ourselves. What kind of words come from our mouths? Now, one of the most frequently used words in the book of Proverbs is the word mouth. I wonder why. How the mouth controls our lives sometimes, does it not? How important is the mouth? Oh, how many times we rue the words that come forth from our mouths and we hope that we could capture them. But they're like bubbles coming from the bubble machine, and you just can't bring them back. They go out there and pop, and you never see them again. But oh, how we would like to capture many words and bring them back to our mouths and our heart. So that word is frequently used in the book of Proverbs. And we see in the book of Proverbs that the mouth is a gift of God. For the mouth is where words come forth. How important words are. How important the Word of God is. How important Jesus Christ, who is the Word, is. Now, we are made in God's image. And in that sense, we are given word to bring forth as God has brought forth word. But as is true in anything good, word is corrupted by a corrupt heart. You know, anything good that's brought forth, it's amazing how quickly that thing that's good can be corrupted. And that's what takes place with a corrupt heart. Now, Proverbs 4:23 says this: you are to keep your heart with all diligence. You know, keeping your heart means to avoid things going into your heart that will corrupt your heart. Being a censor of what you see and what you hear, and what you say, and what you think. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Well, why is that? Well, for out of it are the issues of life. What goes in comes out. Did you know that? What goes in comes out. Be careful what goes in. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. He's saying here, don't let your mouth become froward. Don't let that which is put in the heart be froward. Don't let that which is put in the heart be perverse. Why? Because it will come out as froward and perverse. The just man keeps his heart with all diligence, for the mouth of the just brings forth words of wisdom, knowing what is acceptable. Isn't it nice to know how to speak of that which is acceptable? But the mouth of the froward brings forth that which is perverse and contrary to wisdom. Now, I don't have to tell you this because you all know it, but I'm going to tell you it anyway, because it's good to repeat things and it's good to remind each of us of what is taking place. But we live in the age of the unbridled mouth. For it appears that whatever thought germinates in the mind must absolutely be said. If it pops into the mind, it's got to find way to the mouth. That's the age we live in. What is thought must be expressed in some manner, verbally or now electronically. My, how electronic messages are sent of every thought of the mind. It is as almost as if no thought can be wasted. For if I think it, it must be of such great value that I must absolutely communicate that thought to others. I thought it. It must be good. It must be communicated to others. But let me tell you what I think is the truth. In reality, if I know anything at all, there are very few in this world, perhaps your mate, perhaps your family, that couldn't care less about what you or I think. I think that's true. Most people couldn't care less about what you think. Hopefully your mate does. Hopefully your family does. If you can get them to care about what you think, you've done a pretty good job. But to get others to care about what you think is almost impossible. And yet every thought is communicated to others. But it is a great arrogance to think that every thought you think must be expressed. But that seems to be the norm in our day. But this is not the norm of the Bible. This is not the way of the Scriptures. This is not how God intends for us to use our mouths. The just man has a governed tongue, for it is a tongue that is well furnished with wisdom. In other words, his heart has been provided with wisdom, and therefore out of the heart issues forth that which was put in. He's well furnished with wisdom, which flows from his mouth as naturally as a good tree brings forth fruit. You know, an apple tree, you don't go out and say, wow, an apple tree with apples. You don't say that. It's expected an apple tree has apples. Well, a wise man, it's expected that wise words come forth from a wise man. But unlike a tree that bears fruit but once a year, the mouth of the just bears fruit every day. The just man is a man with a bridled mouth, which is the only way a mouth can go where it should go. You know, if your mouth is unbridled, it'll go in all kinds of places it ought not to be. You know, it's like your nose that sometimes goes where it ought not to be. An unbridled horse goes where it chooses, and in like manner, an unbridled mouth goes in all directions at the same time and does not accomplish anything of value. So one of the marks of a just man is the testimony of his mouth, for only a small portion of what he thinks is allowed to travel to his mouth. That highway from his mind to his mouth is a not-so-traveled highway. For he has a Bible filter that is programmed to keep that which is not acceptable from coming out of his mouth. The just man seeks the Lord's help in this as he asks the Lord to set a watch before his mouth. Send a doorman to open and close the door of his lips as appropriate. That's the prayer of the just man. Now, another thing that seems to be rare among us is discernment of speech, knowing how, what, when, to whom to speak or not to speak. A word of wisdom is not always called for in every situation to every person. Sometimes wisdom doesn't speak. Sometimes wisdom speaks. Words of wisdom are not one size fits all. timing is very important. How the word is given, the place that it is given, the time that it is given, to whom it is given, takes thought, contemplation, and prayer. You know, children need to learn that much, do they not? Sometimes children ask for things at the wrong time. They become wise and they say, I've got to ask for things at the right time. Have you ever had that? They pull on your skirt or your pants asking for things when you're doing something. But wisdom says, I've got to wait for the right time and the right place in order to get my request. But Proverbs 15:23 talks about a word spoken in due season. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. It is not just a word spoken, but it is a word spoken at the right time in due season. And Proverbs 25:11 talks about a word fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. You know, people go out of the room rejoicing after they've been reproved, if they've had a wise reproof, and if they have an obedient ear. My, how thankful we can be if someone takes the time to reprove us, desiring us to be better servants of our common God. Isn't that wonderful to be reproved by a wise reprover? Now, this is the word that is formed to fit the occasion, a word that meets the need of the occasion. It is a word that is formed to bring reproof, that works, to bring about change that bears fruit. You know, if you're ever reproved, take it as that. It's designed to bring about more fruit. You know, no tree likes to be pruned. Have half of its branches cut off, sitting there half naked, going into the grapevine and doing all the things you need to do with the grapevine. No grapevine likes that. But next season, look at the fruit that is born on the vine. Now, Job remarked in Job 6:25, how forcible are right words. Right words are acceptable words. Acceptable words are words that the speaker is pleased with. They are not words which bring about regret for having been spoken. They are words which accomplish the need. They are words which persuade. Words spoken with compassion and sympathy. Words spoken in meekness and humility. You know, a lot of times in rearing your children, there are too many words. Be pithy about caring for your children, about use of words. Make words forceful. How forcible are right words? You know, if you use so many words, it's just like dross. It's just like waste. It's just like things that don't have any value. But if you use words in the proper way, how forcible are right words. Now, the greatest example of right words is the scripture itself. For all of God's words are right words. Study of God's words will bring about the just man who bringeth forth wisdom that is suited to the need. Study of God's word will reveal to the just man the patterns of wisdom, the ways of wisdom, the discrimination of wisdom, the discernment of wisdom, studying the words of Christ and how and when and where he expressed himself will bring to the just man a conformance to wisdom personified in Christ Jesus. For the words of wisdom are fundamentally connected to God's word, for they cannot be expressed apart from them. There's no separation of wisdom from wisdom itself. They cannot be expressed apart from them. But the words that are expressed apart from God's word are froward words, for the froward tongue speaks only frowardness. So what is brought forth is not fruit. And like the fig tree that was barren when Jesus sought fruit, it shall be hewn down. Now, one of the great blessings that wisdom bestows to you and your children is expressed in Proverbs 2, 12 through 15. For we learn in this passage that wisdom promises this: to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. Wisdom is there to deliver you from this. Pay attention. Pay attention to wisdom, for he will deliver you from this. Now, we and our children have a choice to have the mouth of the just, a mouth where wisdom is brought forth, or we can choose to have the mouth of a moon calf, which is a foolish person, a mouth that is froward, a mouth with a tongue that shall be cut out. We can choose to walk in God's preserved paths of judgment. And if we so choose to walk in those paths, I can attest from personal experience, and so can you, that these paths are pleasant paths. They're not grievous paths. They're wonderful paths. They're peaceful paths. They're paths where the Lord Jesus Christ walks. And on those paths, which are paths where the truth is loved, we will have discernment to know the evil man from the good man. In this world, that evil man desires to tempt the man who walks in the paths of judgment, for that man has left the paths of judgment. You know, the evil man's ways are crooked because he has left the straight path of uprightness, because he has left the path of judgment. He has left the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, because evil doers love darkness. You know, when the sun goes down, the evil doers come out. They love darkness. They love to have things that cover up their evil deeds. But that man who loves darkness is froward and desires that others be froward. My, how others wish to bring you down. But the froward man gains no conviction from the straight walk of the upright, but he desires to corrupt the upright so that he has partners with him in the paths of darkness. The Bible teaches that the froward man is hopeless from redemption, for he is proud. And the proud continue to be proud, even in the face of imminent destruction. You know, God has ordained pride to be self-destructive. You can be sure that the proud will destroy themselves. For he not only is proud, but the proud rejoice to do evil, and they delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Now, froward means turned or looking from. It means perverse, that is, turning from, with aversion or reluctance, not willing to yield or comply with what is required, unyielding, ungovernable, disobedient, peevish. Now think of the words to and fro, looking to and looking from. It indicates looking from a position of right to a position of wrong. It means not willing to yield or comply with what is required. It means that a choice is made in favor of rebellion over obedience, to and fro. God wants us to look to. He does not want us to look fro. A froward person is a person who knows what is right and is turning away from what is right. At the first, it appears that the froward person is going in the right direction, but it is soon revealed that it is just a front, and the ultimate direction is away from right. He is going backwards from truth, while he appears to be going forward. Have you ever seen these dancers do what is called the moonwalk? Well, the moonwalk is a walk that looks like you're going forward, but in fact, you're going backwards. That's an example of the froward person. The froward mouth is the same. It issues forth what appears to be truth, but from a heart that is full of lies. In other words, frowardness is a turning from right to wrong with full knowledge. Frowardness does not come from ignorance, but on the contrary, frowardness comes from knowledge. In Luke 9:62, Jesus describes the froward man. He is the man that, having put his hand to the plow, looks back, and by looking back, he reveals himself as unfit for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God requires plowing under the yoke of Christ. Lot's wife was froward. She looked back. Even though she was going in the right direction, she looked back, and God turned her into a pillar of salt. But this man that put his hand to the plow knew that plowing required looking forward. Have you ever plowed with a horse? Probably not. Or with a tractor? Or with a garden tractor? What do? You look forward. You look down the row. And if you turn back, somehow your hands turn too, don't they? You're pretending to look forward, but you're looking back. And then when you go on, and then you look back and you say, well, how did those rows get so crooked? Well, you looked back. You looked back. But this farmer looked back. What caused him to look the wrong way? He did not look the wrong way to become froward. He looked the wrong way because he was froward. Now, the froward in you will always be revealed. It cannot be concealed. It will come out. Whatever is in the heart will come out. Now, do not be afraid of bringing out the frowardness of your children and dealing with it. You know, one of the hardest things to understand in our age is parents not dealing with their children, but just kind of overlooking what is going on in their children's lives. You ought to bring things to a head. Frowardness begins in childhood, but bring it to a head when it shows up. Force the issue. Do not cover it up and pretend it is not there. You know, you have a blemish on your face. Do you overlook it? No, you pop it. Now it hurts, but you pop it. Gets all over the mirror. I'm sorry. But this is an example of dealing with frowardness, dealing with your children, putting them to the test. But this is the pattern of God that he has expressed in Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know, this is a message that parents ought to adopt for their own and put their name in this. Neither is there any child that is not manifest in their sight, but all things that that child does are naked and opened unto the eyes of the parent, for the parent is the one with whom they have to do. Same thing. This is the way we are to be as parents. All that our children do is to be naked and opened unto our eyes, because God has given us to be the ones with whom they have to do. In other words, you're the judge. They have to be judged for their actions. You are to deal with the monster of frowardness, or you will sacrifice your child to the monster, and once lost to frowardness, there is no hope. God desires to equip his children to know what is forward and what is froward. He expects us to be forward people, not froward people. Not people who look in the right direction, but their heart is far from it. We are to know that frowardness is an abomination to our Father in heaven, and it ought to also be to us. If you're made in the image of Christ, the abominations of God are your abominations as well. God desires that we be forward and not froward. Proverbs 4:24, and I'll end with this. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse, which means contrary, perverse lips, put far from thee. Don't let them get into the heart, for out of the heart are the issues of life. Once in, they'll be out. It may take years, but they'll be out. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Father, we thank you. You alone have wisdom. We need to appropriate that wisdom. And we do that by knowing you, by knowing your word, by hiding your word in our hearts, by looking at the patterns of Scripture. How you dealt with this, how you did that, to whom you did it to, how you acted in this situation. Help us, Father, to have that kind of heart as we go through life, and especially in the rearing of our children. Lord, we wish no froward children. We wish no froward adults. Help us, Lord, to help to implant in their hearts the Word of God, that which brings forth from the heart is wisdom. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.